Good morning. It's Nancy Williams, and I'm here for Petals and Prose for the Zesty Garden. And I'm going to read today from one of my favorite authors who's also a poet. He's a former poet laureate of the United States, 13th poet laureate, and was a visiting professor of English at the University of Nebraska. He's a native Nebraskan and writes about life, just the ordinary things in life, and does a beautiful job of it. His name is Ted Kooser, and he has spoken at Utah State University for the English department about 10 years ago. I had the privilege of hearing him. I've been a collector of his books for some time. In addition to his poetry, he has a wonderful book of essays called Local Wonders, Seasons in the Bohemian Alps, which sounds like it would be in Switzerland, but it's not. Bohemian Alps is an area of Nebraska where he lives. And it's just quite a magnificent collection of thoughts and essays about that. So I'm going to read something up from him today from that collection of essays, which talks about how come he became a writer. And it's just an interesting little bit. I think you'll enjoy it. When I was a freshman in college, I came down with pneumonia following a drunken tobogganing party. I was very ill, hospitalized for 10 days and out of my head with fever for the first week. The walls and ceilings of my room took on a strange, softly undulating life that terrified me. Once I saw glossy, wet fur growing out of the grain of the wooden door. I later recalled having well-wishing visitors, friends and relatives who had in fact never been to see me. As my fever fluctuated, I experienced brief periods of clarity and would lie with my sweaty bedding twisted around me, reading a book that someone had left by the bed. It was the only reading material in the room, a boy's novel about a German shepherd named King. Time and again, King came to the rescue of his blundering master. I knew that it was a book of my intellectual college friends and teachers would sneer at, but my illness had reduced me to childishness, and as a child, I fell for this simple, engrossing story. I was 20 years old, but because I was sick, I had regressed to half that age. I was completely dependent upon the loving care of adults, my parents, my doctor, and nurses. Near the end of my hospital stay, my sweetheart of 4 years came to my hospital room to tell me that she'd found another boyfriend. I let her go without an argument, having been beaten back into a bemused, passive, prepubescent state. But the story of the noble dog King sustained me against the billowy craziness upon which my bed floated and bobbed like a raft. His story was richly detailed and absorbing. He made his way through snowdrifts, up and down the sheer faces of mountains, through flooded, ice-choked streams. King's adventures were breathtaking, marvelous, and like the faithful dog he was always within calling range when his master needed him. When my temperature finally went down and stayed down, I began looking about the room for the book, but it was nowhere to be found. My nurses told me I'd been given no books because I'd been much too ill to read. When my parents came to visit, I asked them what had happened to it, and they said they couldn't recall ever seeing such a book. No one could account for the missing King. But the book was vividly impressed upon my memory. I could still feel it in my hands and see its print in front of my eyes. It had to be there somewhere. I described it in detail. It had no dust jacket and was bound in red cloth frayed by wear. The binding was slightly sticky after holding it for a while. It was a little over an inch thick and had a comfortable, serious-feeling heft to it. The pages were of good pre-war rag paper and had deckled edges. It had the good glue and ink smell of a book. The spine was stamped with the title in gold foil, King, a Dog of the North. There were, of course, many such books in print at the time, the dog story being a staple of juvenile reading, and I had possibly read one or two of them when I'd been younger. But what I came to believe is that in my delirium, I wrote, printed, bound, and published King, a Dog of the North. I made it all up, just as king, the dog was always there when his master fell into the arms of a bear. King, the book, had snatched me from the jaws of pneumonia. I've been a writer ever since. Oh, I'd written some poems before I got pneumonia, but it took pneumonia to make me serious about writing. The creation of King, a Dog of the North, a solid accomplishment of the imagination, may have given me the confidence to try my hand at letting my imagination carry me forward toward other stories and poems and books like that one. And whatever success I've had as a writer, I owe in some part to that magnificent silver-haired German shepherd who vanished into the frozen wasteland once he had seen me back to health. Writing late at night, sometimes I think I hear his great paws padding through the snow. I want to read you a poem, maybe a couple of them, of Ted Kooser's poems so that you can hear his voice in his poems, which don't really sound poetic. They're just wonderful pieces of life. Here's a poem he wrote to his father, and that's the name of it, Father. May 19th, 1999. Today, you would be 97 if you had lived, and we would all be miserable, you and your children driving from clinic to clinic, an ancient, fearful hypochondriac and his fretful son and daughter, asking directions, trying to read the complicated, fading map of cures. But with your dignity intact, you have been gone for 20 years, and I am glad for all of us, although I miss you every day. The heartbeat under your necktie, the hand cupped on the back of my neck, Old Spice in the air, your voice delighted with stories. On this day, each year, you love to relate that at the moment of your birth, your mother glanced out the window and saw lilacs in bloom. Well, today, lilacs are blooming in side yards all over Iowa, still welcoming you. This one is called A Box of Pastels. I once held on my knees a simple wooden box in which a rainbow lay dusty and broken. It was a set of pastels that had years before belonged to the painter, Mary Cassatt, and all the colors she'd used in her work lay open before me. Those hues that she'd used most, the peaches and pinks, were worn down to stubs, while the cool colors, violet, ultramarine, had been set, scarcely touched, to one side. She'd had little patience with darkness, and her heart held only a measure of shadow. I touched the warm dust of those colors, her tools, and left there with light on the tips of my fingers. I've been reading to you from work by Ted Kooser. You can order those books if you want from, I'll put the address and the names of them on the UPR website, which is upr.org. The poetry book, which won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry, is called Delights and Shadows. And the lovely memoir is called Local Wonders. Thanks for being with me. This is Nancy Williams.